Okay, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Lovely to see you this morning. Can I say again, if you're a guest here or a visitor, it's fantastic to see you this morning. You're so welcome in church. It's great. Great to have you with us. As Paul said, my name is Chris. I'm a part of the team here. And I've been a part of the team almost for exactly 5 years. It must be 5 years, maybe next week, I think. So it'll be five years. I'm married to Helena, who's sat over here, and we've got two little queens, Jessica, and Jess. She didn't see that. She just rolled her eyes at me. Do you see that? She just rolled her eyes. Jessica and Rafi, they're over there too. My plan this morning is to speak to you for around 10 minutes. And this is a message that I'm actually going to preach this evening as well. And I'm going to give the full version of the message, which I can't do now. And if you'd like to hear that, you can get online in the week and download it. Or you can come to the Five this evening and hear it for yourself as well. But I think I didn't want to just rush through a load of stuff this morning just to crack through. And the way I'm going to do it this evening is that I'm going to use this passage to speak in two sections. And we're going to journey through the story two times with two different lenses. So this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take one of those sections and talk out of one section instead of two. That's the plan. I am going to start a stopwatch in a minute as well, once I've given you a little task to do. I wonder what your greatest achievement of the week has been. I wonder what your greatest achievement this week has been. I'm going to share with you my greatest achievement in a second. But what I want you to do for the next 90 seconds with the people around you, I want you to share what your greatest achievement of this week might have been. And then I want you to share with them what you remember from the story that's just been read. Retell the story. Take 90 seconds to do that. So you've got to tell them your greatest achievement of the week and retell them the story that you've just heard of Jesus walking on the water. Now, as you do that, young kids and parents, if you would like to get involved in some of the activities that we've got planned for the kids during these 10 minutes, then you need to make your way to the side chapel, which is just on my left, on your right. And there's lots of chairs laid out, and there's some craft activities and colouring and all that kind of stuff for kids. So if during this next 90 seconds your kids would love to do that rather than listen to me, if you're a parent and you'd rather do that and not listen to me, you're more than welcome. You've got 90 seconds to move. The rest of you, do your thing. Okay, let me draw you back, if at all possible. Whilst I'm drawing you back, let me tell you what my greatest achievement of this week has been. (Laughter) My greatest achievement this week, the Whitwell family have upgraded to bunk beds. Yep, it's done. No, not me and Helena. No, we're still sharing the normal bed. The Whitwell family have upgraded to bunk beds. It's time. We made the switch. The kids were Jess's legs were almost hanging out the end of her little bed, and Raffy's too old to be in a cot. So I packed down the cot on Thursday morning, and they arrived. Now, if I was to say the words flat pack to you, I don't know what your reaction would be, but maybe you'd celebrate my achievement even more if you understand what those words mean. They arrived in four boxes, and we had two mattresses and two pillows arrive. The whole thing arrived. And I don't know why they tell you in the instructions that it's only going to take 2 hours. It never takes 2 hours. It always takes longer than the thing will say. So my dad and me, we put the things up. It took us about 5 hours, I think. It was great fun. All right, let's get to the real stuff. This is an amazing story. This is an amazing story full of fear, wind, courage, ghosts, growth. It's an amazing story, and you'll probably know it really well. And this morning, the title of my message is this: Eyes and Ears and Winds and Fears. Eyes and Ears and Winds and Fears. That's the title of this message. Sometimes what we see with our eyes has more to do with the focus of our attention than it does the reality of what we can actually see. Let me say that again. Sometimes the reality of what we see is more about where our attention is fixed than it is about what we're actually seeing. As the wind blows hard in this story, as the disciples are thrown around in the boat by the waves, they see something, someone walking towards them. And the Bible says they're terrified. They cry out in fear. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. Sometimes what we can see with our eyes has more to do with the focus of our attention than it does the reality of what we can actually see. How many people in here have ever bought a new car? Now, when I say a new car, I don't mean necessarily a brand new car. I mean a car that is new to you. Hands up if you've bought a new car, a car that is new to you. Brilliant. How many of you, when you bought your car and you started driving it around, started to see that exact same car everywhere you drove? Yeah? Suddenly, the market has been flooded by my Kia. We just recently bought a new car, and I just can see all I can see. I can only see Kia estates everywhere. They're everywhere. You see, the market doesn't just get flooded with your car when you buy it. Suddenly, the focus of your attention shifts, and you're more aware of your car than you were before, so you start to see it everywhere. In this story, the attention of the disciples is found in their fear. The focus of their attention is found in their fear, and they see a ghost. Sometimes what we see with our eyes is more to do with where our attention is fixed than it is the reality of what we can actually see. The disciples' attention is focused in their fear, and they see a ghost. Now, we know retrospectively and obviously that they're not seeing a ghost. They're seeing the presence and the person of Jesus in their midst. Sometimes our ears are more reliable than our eyes. Sometimes. Which is why God operates on a multi-sensory basis. I didn't know if you knew that this morning. God is multi-sensory. He doesn't just operate with what you can see. He operates by what you can hear and what you can feel and what you experience. And he operates on a multi-sensory basis. Sometimes our ears are more reliable than our eyes. So as Jesus, as he hears the fearful cries of his disciples, what does he say? Jesus immediately says to them, verse 27, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Take courage, it's I, do not be afraid," Jesus says to his friends. It's those three words in the middle that I'm interested in. It is I. I'm interested in them because one, the thing that Jesus doesn't do is he doesn't immediately respond to the fear of his disciples by saying, take courage. Hey, it's me. It's Jesus. It's your friend. It's the person you've been walking around with. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's Jesus. He doesn't say his name. He doesn't say his name. He says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. But he doesn't say his name, which is interesting because the disciples think they've seen a ghost, which I think Jesus knows. But he doesn't say his name. He says, it is I. And Peter recognizes the voice that he hears. He recognizes the voice that he hears. And he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. Now remember that the physical elements around them haven't changed. So the wind is swirling, and the wind is really swirling. This is a high wind. The waves, the Bible says in other translations that they are tossed and battered by the waves in the boat. They are battered by the waves. The elements, as Peter gets out onto the sea, have not changed. Onto the lake, sorry. They have not changed. The wind remains. The waves remain. The boat probably continues to jump up and down in the water. And yet, as the sound of Jesus' voice is recognized, fear is turned into courage. But what hasn't changed is the storm. You see, sometimes, and I don't know where a lot of you are at in your life, and sometimes when the storms of life are going on, and they will go on, tonight I'm going to talk a little bit more about how it appears in the story like Jesus sent them out into the storm. Sometimes in the storms that continue to rage, the voice of Jesus can turn fear into courage. Some of the things that we're afraid of, some of the things that we're facing, they can be turned around by the voice and the presence of Jesus. So even in the middle of a storm this morning, knowing and recognizing the voice of Jesus can turn your fear into courage. So Peter, as the story continues, steps out onto the water. He says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out onto the water. And Jesus says, come. Peter gets down from the boat and walks on the water and comes towards Jesus. And then the Bible says, when Peter sees the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Lord, save me, he cried. Sometimes what you see has more to do with the focus of your attention than it does the reality of what you can see. As Peter sees, and other translation says, as Peter saw the effects of the wind, as Peter shifted his attention from the person of Jesus in front of him to the effects of the wind, you know, in our life, when our attention is focused in the fear or in the reality of the storm, as opposed to the person in the presence of Jesus, our attention will be dominated by those things. If our attention is driven by the person in the presence of Jesus, our fear can be turned into courage. So Peter sees the effects of the wind. Suddenly all this stuff is going on around him. He sees the effects and he begins to sink. What does he hear from the voice of Jesus? It says this, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Jesus says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I think we feel sorry for Peter in this moment. I think it seems harsh. I think we're a bit annoyed at Jesus for saying to Peter he had no faith. Because in the middle of the storm, he still got out of the boat and he still walked on the water. And I think we feel sorry for Peter in this moment. I think in some ways we're right to. In some ways, I think if we read it like this, Jesus does seem harsh. Except that, I want to change something a little bit in my thinking. One of the things I read this week was that in that phrase, little faith, Jesus says, you of little faith. In that phrase, little faith, you could actually read that as you of undeveloped faith. Underdeveloped faith. You of underdeveloped faith. I think this moment is more tender than it reads. I think that Jesus isn't giving a harsh rebuke to Peter and saying, you of little faith. I think he's saying, you of underdeveloped faith. It's a different phrase. It's a different phrase. Because I think part of this story, right from the very beginning, and if you read it right from the beginning, Jesus sends his disciples off in the boat. He sends them onto the lake. I think knowing there's going to be a storm. And he runs off to the mountain to pray and spend time alone. I think right from the beginning of this story, it's all about an opportunity for growth and development in his friends. And some of you will know in this room that in the storm and in the wind of life, in the things that swirl around us, you will know that there's often an opportunity for growth and an opportunity for development in the midst of your storm. Often. And I think this is a moment that Jesus takes to give his friends an opportunity for growth and development. I don't think he's rebuking harshly his friend, you, Peter, of little faith. I think he's saying, hey, Peter, your faith just isn't as developed as I'd like it yet. This is an opportunity for you to grow. This is an opportunity for you to develop. This is an opportunity for you, Peter. And so as I finish, I want to just remind you of a couple of things. Sometimes what we can see with our eyes has more to do with the focus of our attention than it does the reality of what we can actually see. I want to ask you this morning, where is your attention? Is it in the storm and the fear, or is it on the presence and the person of Jesus? Because the reality is, and it's certainly true in this story, that the person, the presence of Jesus, turned the storm and the fear, turned the fear of Peter in the storm into courage. Which means there's an opportunity for us in the midst of our fear and in the storms of life to recognize and hear the voice of Jesus and allow him to turn our fear into courage. The final thing I want to remind you of is that I don't think Jesus is being harsh here. I think he's using the wind and the storm as an opportunity for growth. And I want to say to you this morning that if you're in the midst of a storm, if you can feel the effects of the wind of life around you, allow the words of Jesus to turn your fear into courage and use it as an opportunity for growth. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this story. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the reality. Thank you for your son, Jesus. I pray today, Father, for anyone that feels like they're in the midst of a storm. They feel like the wind is swirling and life is going crazy. I pray, Father, that today would be a day where the focus of our attention could be shifted from the storm, the wind, and the fear to your presence. And we invite you to come and do that work today in Jesus' name. Amen. It might be worth saying that if you would like to pray, be prayed for after this service to do with anything or to do with what we've shared, then please come and find someone. I'm hoping there'll be some people stationed over this side of the church. If you're on the prayer ministry team, it'll be great to see you over there at the end.